morning, folks. Full house. Thanks for coming, because I know you're all going to run right after this and catch a plane, just like me and I think all the presenters. So thanks for coming. Thank you for the introduction. So I'm Heather Nelson, and I work for Health Resources in Action, and we are a nonprofit organization, and we do public health consulting really across the country, although we're located in Boston. And shout out to a couple of my colleagues who are busy doing other presentations, Stacey Chacker, who's the co-PI on the CMS project, another CMS project. I'm about to talk about an Annie Rushman, and this is a very complex project. It is CMS-funded, so that's why I was laughing very loud when you talked about the challenges. And I have a great team, so shout out to them. And this always strikes me as kind of sad, but I have no relationships to disclose. So every time I say it, I think that seems weird. Okay. So this project I'm going to talk to you about in terms of childhood asthma and better controlling it using community health workers doing home visits. We call it the New England Asthma Innovation Collaborative, which is quite the mouthful, so I'm going to refer to it as NEAC. So that's what I'm talking about here, the project. So as I just said, home visits led by community health workers. It's CMS funded. We started this 2.5 years ago. We're in the third year already, and they are 3-year grants, and it's one of the innovation. We were one of the first rounds of integration grants from CMS. So a lot of learning, I would say, both on CMS's part and all of us who are grantees. And so it'll be what I'm going to be telling you about in a second in terms of results. It's pretty good because it's 2 years. I think I got 9 quarters to show you. So 2 years and one of the quarters, which is we've got some data under our belt. And this is a collaborative, as the title suggests, of the project. We have clinical partners. We have payers on board. And we also have training partners. And I will show you who those are in a second. The aims of this, I think, are aims of most of the projects going on for everyone these days. It's the improved quality of care, of course, improve health and quality of life outcomes, decrease costs, right, healthcare utilization costs, and I see here that, oh, I should also explain that little logo. That last little sentence there in the footer is advanced sustainable payment systems. And that little logo there, it says the Asthma Regional Council. And I should mention, too, that the Asthma Regional Council is a council across New England to work on fighting asthma. And that's been in place for 13 years. And I put it up there because it's housed out of the organization I work for. So what I'm talking about here in these collaborations, they didn't just, we didn't just, grow them overnight. It's been years of work in the making. So I think that's important to say. So if anyone knows any of these organizations, New England, and I won't go through them all just in the interest of time, but these are our clinical partners. So these are the organizations across 4 New England states we're working with, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and Vermont. And they are the sites that actually hire the community health workers, house the community health workers, and they are interfacing with primary care. And, they're all, some of them are health centers, some of them are hospitals. And we, the organization I work for, we're really a backbone organization pulling together all the components because it's a rather large complex project. So those are our clinical partners. Here are our payer partners, 6 Medicaid payer partners across those 4 states because we will be looking at claims data. I'll talk about that briefly in a second. So we've gotten them on from the beginning. And here are our policy and training partners who are still with us through, all of our partners are with us throughout the whole project. So these are the organizations who trained the community health workers initially, so they all had standard education, and they were all learning the same things, and continue professional development throughout the whole grant cycle, of course. And also there are collaborative meetings that some are required in person. I think we only do 1 a year now to make it feasible, but they do have calls so they can be supported throughout and work with each other across the state. Okay, so in terms of the intervention here, real quick, it's either a 3 or a 4 visit, home visiting program. And the reason for that is it just has to do with sort of the history of the different sites and what they already had in place. So some of them do 3 home visits and some of them do 4 home visits. So the 3 home visits takes between 2 and 3 months from the beginning to the end, first visit to the last. And the 4 home visits, it usually goes about 6 months. So we've got those kind of 2 different protocols going, but everyone uses one protocol or the other. And what the community health workers do with the home visits, they, of course, assess the patient's needs. They assess the home environment. I'll talk about that in a second. They provide asthma self-management education. They deliver cost-effective environmental supplies, and you can see the little things along the side, the vacuum, which it should be a HEPA vacuum, but that's what it is. They may also give out gel baits if pests are an issue, things like different containers to contain food, again, if pests are an issue, mattress covers, those sorts of things. And they also improve care by, they are trained in motivational interviewing, they use motivational interviewing, they promote asthma action plans, they do a lot of, as community health workers, do a lot of connecting back to primary care, preventive services, and as I think probably all of you know, working in this arena in some fashion, that when you're, particularly when you're in someone's home, there's not just, oh, we're talking about asthma, we're talking about, you know, I have problems with my utilities now, or we need to move, or we don't, you know, I don't have a job, those kinds of things. So, of course, they're also working with those issues and referring and triaging, making those linkages. And they review the needs and progress with the family. So we're talking about children here being involved, but, of course, it's the parent or the caregiver. So they're working with them on an ongoing basis. So here are participants. As I said, the participants themselves are children, and by the end we'll have enrolled 1,136, and we have a large age range, 2 to 17. Everyone is a Medicaid or a CHIP beneficiary. They do have to have a diagnosis of asthma from an authorized clinician, and they have to have evidence of poorly controlled asthma. And we kind of took a broad look at this in terms of inclusion criteria. So this last bullet here, they only have to have one of those things. Some of our sites already started having a more strict inclusion criteria, and that was okay, but we kind of had a broad one, so our sites could do what made the most sense for their population. Okay? So I'm going to tell you about the evaluation, the plan, and then I'm going to give you results, which are actually looking pretty promising. So we collect a lot of different data, and a lot of the data we have on an ongoing basis to monitor ourselves and improve quality. And, you know, we're not going to change the protocols drastically, but if we can make improvements as we go, we most certainly do. And so when the community health workers are doing home visits and they're all collecting the data, they collect data at the first home visit and the last, either the third or fourth, depending on the protocol. And they collect a lot of data. So they are sitting down with the caregiver, whoever the parent, the grandparent, whoever the caregiver is, and they're sitting down and they're going through a questionnaire that self-report, and so there's 44 self-report questions about, you know, your quality of life as a caregiver with a child who has asthma. Tell me about how much school they've missed. Tell me about how much work you've missed. Tell me about how many times the child has gone to the ED in the last 6 months. Those kinds of things. And then they also walk through the home systematically using forms, and they answer 36 items about, okay, I'm in the kitchen, how much dust, you know, on a scale. Okay, now in the kitchen, are there leaks? Are there pests? And they go room by room systematically and collect a lot of data, which I thank them for all the time because it's, you know, it gets tedious, but it's important so we can see the changes and really monitor the work that they're doing to show that it's effective, and it is. So that's the first and last home visit. And then we do follow-up phone calls at 6 months and 12 months. Obviously, you can't collect observational data about the home environment, but they do check in on those questions that are just about, you know, how are you doing in terms of quality of life? It's not just, hey, how are you doing? It's, you know, it's an instrument. And ask them again about healthcare utilization, missed work, missed school, those sorts of things, asthma control questions. And we've also done a couple of focus groups we did at the end of year two, which were very valuable to check in with caregivers and say, how is this working for you? Are there any things we can change? What's working well? You know, and it was interesting. I will just say very, very quickly that I could do a whole presentation on that. But they were amazing because they – and I just did not anticipate this, that they, I kind of sat back because I thought, I'm going to bias this. This is, you know, this is, I'm not part of this project, had someone else facilitate it. And they were talking about insurance companies, which I thought was amazing. They said, you know, no doctor's ever given me a vacuum, and it helps. So why don't the insurance companies, why doesn't Medicaid pay for this? I was like, yes, yes, that's exactly what we're trying to do. So they were thinking, you know, a kind of big picture, which probably has a lot to do with healthcare reform is my guess, but really thinking about this would help community members. We all should have people come into our homes to help us with issues. So, you know, issues of barriers of transportation and not being able to get somewhere, you're coming into my home. And obviously there's a huge environmental component here with asthma triggers. So we did focus groups, and I mentioned this about 2 seconds ago. We are getting claims data draws. We just finally got some claims data, so from the payers, from the Medicaid agencies and the Medicaid managed care organizations, so we can actually do a return on investment and show that there is, hopefully, there isn't a return on investment. So I would love to talk to you about that, although we're just doing the analysis now, and then we'll do one 12 months after we enroll the last folks. And it's required by CMS. We wanted to do it anyway, and then we'll also look at it for each state. So as we're kind of waiting for, I think, sort of big picture changes nationally or even at the state level in terms of having a mechanism to reimburse community health workers for these services, that this should help. And in the meantime, we'll probably have to work with probably just payers and the clinical sites themselves to figure out pilots. So I have 5 minutes. So I'm just going to kind of blow through some of the key. Let me tell you some of the key findings. This is our demographics, and I can show you later if it's important to any of you. So, but we do have a very diverse group of children. And so the key here is asthma control. You can see here at the first visit, it should say the last, not the third, that we had a lot of people in the last row who were poorly controlled. And by the end of their intervention, the home visits, it went down to 8.3. And for the well-controlled category, it started pretty small, a little bit under 20%, but moved up to almost half. We still have folks who are in the not well-controlled, and I can't tell you from here who's moving to which, and we will do that analysis. But we know that it is improving asthma control. And let me just kind of show you a couple more. So environmental factors, we have seen you can have a maximum score of 6, which means there's a lot of factors and triggers for asthma. And so we have seen, although the number going down from 2.55 to 2.03 seems very small, it is statistically significant in terms of improvement. And any small change on a 5-point scale is usually, or 6-point scale, excuse me, is really quite good. And I pulled out some of the environmental factors, the triggers themselves, so you can see what really ends up changing the most. Pests, it seems from the intervention, are pretty good at changing pests. And dust is the last row there. This intervention is good at changing that. When we talked to the community health workers, we had a meeting, and I presented data a couple quarters ago, and I talked about smoke and pets and asked them, you know, what are the challenges here? Of course, it's hard to get rid of a family pet when you're working with a family. It's hard to quit smoking. It's also very difficult to control your neighbors who smoke in the apartment next door or outside your window. And so they talked a lot about that. And chemicals, really here we're talking about cleaning supplies, actually, and they talked a lot about the families they visit. They love using Clorox, whatever brand it is, but they really love using bleach, which is a trigger. And they said, you know, we talk about it, and then we come back, and they're still using it because they feel like, oh, we're getting things clean. So that's the environmental factor. So there's improvement in that mediating factor. This just shows you that people from the beginning of the intervention to the end are not only reporting they have more asthma action plans, but they also are using them, because you can have one, but if it sits in the drawer, I don't know how valuable that is. So we ask them, do you use it when your child needs it? And that has increased. And I think this is probably the important, it's all very important, but I think in terms of this project and thinking about reducing costs and not wanting children to have to go to the hospital unnecessarily, that this is what's meaningful. So I think it's probably pretty small, but if you look at it, that the first set of bars is the number of times admitted to the hospital. The second is the number of days in the hospital. That next group is the number of ED visits. And the last is urgent care visits. And the orange bars are then what they report when they start the intervention. The blue bars are what they report at the end of the intervention. And the purple bar is the 6 months out and have them report to us. Now, again, this is just a self-report. We'll validate with the claims data. But as you can see, there is a decrease as we go over time. All of the decreases are statistically significant. The only two places that aren't are between the last home visit and the 6-month follow-up phone call for number of times admitted to the hospital and days spent in the hospital. And I think that as we collect more data, we may see a change in that. But, you know, there's also with any kind of intervention, you do it, and then you're done with it, and whatever it improves or something decreases, it goes in the direction you want. And there's always a little bit where it's not quite as low. You know, it may go up a little bit, but it's still lower than when you started. So that's what we're seeing here. And I think in those two, they bounce around a little bit in terms of the third home visit to the six-month phone call. So we'll see what the claims data says. And then this, I think this, I'm thinking, let's look, yeah, it is the last one. So in terms of quality of life, we use Dr. Elizabeth Juniper's scale. Some of you may be familiar with it if you work in asthma. And so we've also seen an improvement here that here you actually do want the score to go up, which means that the caregiver isn't worried about a whole bunch of dimensions, worried about their child related to asthma. And so we have seen it increase. Going from 5.4 to 6, about 6 at the last visit, and statistically significant. Again, this scale looks pretty small, but when you're using a relatively small scale, when you have a small increase, it actually does move the needle. So that was me rushing. You can't ask me questions right now, but this is how to reach me, and you can ask me after. Okay.